So as we get started in, I want to set context for where we're going, and then I'm going to invite Aaron and Travis up and just jump right in. Is that cool? So who in the rooms, what they would say is experienced in real estate investing? Okay. Who in the room's kind of intermediate? Okay. Who in the room's new-ish or brand new? Okay. What about Brandon? Like Brandon? Kind of sort of maybe. Okay. Cool. So one of the things that you'll hear me say, and you've heard me, if you've been around us, you've heard me say it before, and you'll hear me say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The thing that has created a lot of success for me, and I believe is my competitive edge, is the fact that I have x-ray vision to see through a real estate transaction because of one thing, and it's my finance knowledge. My finance knowledge allows me to see things you don't see. Now, I don't know if that's you or not. I don't know if you have finance knowledge. But if you do, or if that's something you're pursuing, I encourage you to do it because it'll give you a deeper perspective on how to put real estate together. Are you with me? It's not about chasing it and just throwing money at it. There's strategies involved. And when you understand how financing works, specifically in Nevada, with notes and deeds of trust, and how they're put together, and that the bank's not actually in charge of anything, that they're just the beneficiary for a lien against an asset, it changes the entire game. So we're gonna talk about that for a few minutes today, set context, and then Aaron and Travis are gonna cover that as well, because that's a cornerstone of understanding notes, which is where we're going today. Is that okay? Is everybody familiar with the fact that notes are just the financing and the backside of a real estate transaction? Do we get that? Okay, any comments about what I just said? Everybody understood me? Did I leave anybody in the dust? Okay, cool. So as we get started, I want to do something that you've probably seen at a lot of seminars, but I'm going to go deeper than it goes because I'm not selling something here. I'm not trying to see if you got $100 in your pocket. But I've got a C note here, and the key is that it's a C note. What does C note stand for? $100 bill, right? But isn't it interesting? Everybody calls it a note. Well, if you look on it, it says it's a Federal Reserve note. Are you with me? Federal Reserve note. Now, what does that mean? What is a note? So Roy said, besides the fact that it's a scam, thank you, Roy. The U.S. government's a scam, but what?
It's a promise to pay back.
It's a promise to pay back, okay? And so does anybody know the two ways to buy real estate? Anybody?
Cash.
And finance. Absolutely. You can pay cash or finance. Has anybody figured out another way to buy real estate? Yeah, you could barter, but we're not going to talk about that today. Okay? Cash and finance. How many types of cash are there?
One.
Right. Cash is cash. It could be electronic wire, it could be a check, it could be a lot of things, but it's really cash. How many types of financing are there? There are, but there's primarily two types. What are they? Bank or institutional. I like to use institutional. And then there's seller finance. Please write that down. Seller finance, and you're going to learn a little bit about that today in this note process, that it's the game changer. It's the thing that equalizes the playground. How many of you got a bank note anywhere? Anybody? Or have had one? Or have heard of a bank and a bank note? Right? They tell you how much you can borrow and how much you can have, yes? Has anybody ever maxed out their Fannie guidelines and had 4 or 10 properties financed? And then they tell you you can't buy anymore, regardless of your income, because you're capped out on what they consider a viable risk. Well, when you consider cash, you can have as much cash as you want. You can buy real estate all day, yes?
Yeah.
But when you go to seller finance, you don't even have to have cash. You can have sellers, and you can have unlimited numbers of sellers to finance properties for you. My favorite partner in the world is the seller, because they've already got the property leveraged. Why would I have to go get new money, right? Now, I know that jacks with some of your heads, but that's the idea, some of what we're going to learn about. Not necessarily today, but that's the core underlying message of where I come from when I teach. So let's get back to this real quick. This is what?
Nope.
Okay, so I'm going to draw things out here, and I'll take time at the end to answer questions, but let's just talk about the $100 bill. And let's talk about cash. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the bank and getting financing with the bank on a note. And then let's talk about sellers and the idea of what I call the umbrella of seller finance and the fact that they could extend a note to us. Are you with me? So if I go and I buy a property for $100,000, and I pay $100,000 in cash, what did I just exchange for the house?
Notes.
$100,000 in value of notes, right? Because we already identified that the cash is a note. Are y'all with me? So the note, by nature, is what, guys? It's an IOU, or a promissory note. There's two M's there. Y'all with me? In this particular case, when you have a note and deed of trust with the bank, the note is the IOU, the deed of trust is the security instrument, and what's it secured against? The asset called the collateral. Y'all with me? What's the collateral on this one? Or, I'm sorry, what's the security on this one?
Taxpayer.
You're getting close to it, what?
Tax.
Just say it, quick.
Taxpayer.
No. Well, yes, it's in the spirit of the taxpayer. What do we know the taxpayer is going to do?
Pay taxes.
Pay taxes, which so eventually will pay all this stuff off and give it value. So it's really the full faith and credit of the United States government, right? Which is, to me, that statement's questionable, but let's not go there. Okay, so let's just say full faith in U.S. Because what we do know is we can consume some shit, yes? Mm-hmm. We can consume some stuff. So that's where the security comes from, that this is going to keep value. The rest of the world doesn't always believe that, right? Okay, so we got a note, security. And then what's the collateral on this one? The actual dollar bill itself, the actual paper that it's printed on. But isn't it interesting that this has less security than any of it, but we put a lot of faith in it? Has everybody heard cash is king? Right? Does everybody believe that? If you go out in the market right now and you buy a property retail, you're going to get a bigger discount if you pay cash. Like, we just know that, yes? Yeah. You go buy a car, they've got it priced for finance. If you show up with cash, you get a better price. So cash is king. Would y'all agree?
Yeah.
Even if you disagree, play with me right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay. So a note, security, and collateral. Now, when you go to that, buy that same $100,000 property, but you go to the bank, what are they going to request from you? A little bit of cash down, right? Let's just say 20K. And then they're going to extend you what? A note for 80K and a deed of trust, which is the security, secured against the collateral, yes? So do you see how they work the same? And isn't it interesting, for the same $100,000 in value, they'll accept all your cash, or they'll accept some cash and they'll exchange a note secured against the property, or the note with a deed of trust secured against the property, as exchange for the other $80,000 in cash, so to speak. So cash is just as good as finance. Are y'all seeing how I'm making that connection? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes or no?
Okay.
When you get to the seller, the idea is the same. Even if you're using a lease with an option to buy, the idea is the same. There's an agreement, which would be a note or a promissory note, an agreement to pay. Your security is a lien against the property, specifically possible existing financing or a new agreement, or in the case of a lease option, you could secure a memorandum against the property. Are you with me? And then what's it secured against? The collateral. Well, here's what I want to say to you, and this is just super simple. It's going to hide from you right here. Everybody go like this. What does that mean?
It's
right under your nose. So everybody say this with me. A note.
A note.
Cash.
Cash.
Is a note.
Is a note.
Bank.
Bank.
Is a note.
Is a note.
Seller finance.
Seller finance.
Let's dumb it down. A note.
A note.
Is a note.
Is a note.
Is a note. They're all interchangeable. If and when you get that, because I'm not committed to everybody getting it today, but if and when you get it, you'll never use cash in the bank again, ever. There's just no need to. If they're all interchangeable and there's unlimited numbers of these, then you don't have to stockpile this to buy real estate. You don't have to go to bank, ask the bank if they'll qualify you. You can just go work with sellers, which there's unlimited numbers for, and buy all the real estate you want. Now, we're not going into seller finance today, but I'm setting the context for notes. Are you with me? And if these are all interchangeable and exchangeable for the same idea of value, Do y'all understand that? Then you'll understand the note conversation going forward today and the idea of buying notes from banks and in some cases sellers that are non-performing or performing and where the opportunity is there. So you actually become, instead of the Bank of America, you become Bank of Seller or Bank of Matt or Bank of Roy. Are you with me? Does anybody like that, or is that just me?
I love that.
Like, I get off on it. I'm excited about it. Okay, so guys, I'm going to introduce Travis and Aaron, have them come up and get started. Actually, probably be just Travis. So, really important. I met these guys initially last March. I met you here in Vegas at Alan Cowgill's Money Event. And we spent 3 or 4 days together. And actually, that's when I first met Glenn as well, sitting here in the front, second row. And we visited, we connected, really liked the exchange of ideas and stuff. And then by June, I went to one of their events out in San Diego, and everybody knows that's my favorite place in the world, so I was looking for an excuse to go out there. And so I went out there to learn a little more information around notes and stuff, because I've got a history with and have bought and sold a bunch of notes at discounts, and it's been a big piece of what I've done to buy and sell real estate, part of what we've done. And so I wanted more information and just didn't realize there was the big business of notes and, you know, how it could change the game. So over the last year, we've developed a relationship together. John and I have made a personal investment into them and part of their mastermind program and everything. We believe in it. We believe in them. We've established a strong relationship with them and respect how they do business. And you guys know I just don't have guest speakers come in all the time, right? So it's really important that if you've got this stage at my house, I think you bring a lot of value. And so I'm going to tell you guys, thank you for being here. I honor that, but I also honor the people presenting and believe in them. So is that cool?
Good.
Awesome. Is that good for you, Travis? Can you work out that one, buddy? So Travis, come on up, buddy.
We got some new faces. We were up here a month ago, right?
Yeah.
We got a few new faces. Who was here a month ago with us, just by show of hands? About half of you, we got some new faces, so we'll kind of try to build on that foundation. You guys have a little bit of a head start, but we'll back up a little bit and go through some of that just to make sure I'm in the right room, right? Is anyone here interested in creating multiple streams of passive income? Right? So half of you. Is there anyone here interested in creating multiple streams of passive income? But one more time, show of hands. Okay, we've got a couple that are using on their laptop. We got it. So it looks like there's some serious interest. I'm impressed. Kudos to you guys on a Saturday afternoon, right? Saturday morning, Saturday. You know, spending your day here, the city that never sleeps, where there are a few things to do here, right? On a Saturday, you all got your family. So this is a big deal to us. And I want you to know that I take that very seriously. You guys investing your time to be here. So we're going to really give as much as we possibly can. Okay, and I'm going to move to this side because I'm going to be going through slides. We'll operate off of here. So I appreciate one thing that Coach Mark said, right? Because real estate investing really is just what? Creative finance, right? And the level at which you guys understand creative finance, right? And that skill set, as you grow that skill set, the faster you're going to be able to reach your passive income goals. So I would assume, and we're going to go into this in just a minute, I'm going to ask you guys kind of why you're here, but I would assume that we're here because we all have some sort of a passive income goal, right? Am I right?
Yes.
You know, so we've all said that, hey, real estate's a vehicle that can help me enjoy some passive income, right? I know for me, that's a real big deal. I think it was 1999, I read a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad. Anyone read Rich Dad Poor Dad? Right? You know, and the whole series, I heard it, and there was maybe one or two hands that didn't go up. If you haven't read that series, go read it, right? Quite frankly, my favorite book of his series was the second one, which was Cash Flow Quadrant, because it really helped me understand that the quadrant I was operating in, I was actually in the S quadrant. For those of you who read those books, what does that mean? Where was I?
Self-employed
or a small business owner. And what's the problem with being in that? You get to control your own schedule, but instead of having one boss, how many bosses do you have? All a bunch of customers, right? So as I provide a service for money, and if I stop providing that service, what happens to my paycheck? Right? So what we really want to focus on today is the right side of that quadrant, the B in the I. Right? And we want to teach you guys how to do some of that. So, and really, this is going to touch you. Let's see if we go again.
Can you just hit the keyboard?
So our next 5 to 6 hours together really is how to help you guys hit your passive income goal faster with real estate notes. Okay, and I truly believe, you know, I've spent since 2001, I've been investing in real estate part-time. We'll talk about, you know, how I got started here in just a minute. But is that something that you guys would be interested in today, if you could hit your goal faster? Yeah. You know, I know when I first got started, I kind of was learning. I said, if I could get free, right, where my income is equal to or greater than my outflow, my passive income is equal to or greater than my outflow, then I'm good, right? I'm good to go. And I said 10 years. If I could do that in 10 years, and I was doing it part-time, I had a marketing company, but if I could do that, I'd be happy. Well, since I saw real estate notes, that's gone a lot faster. My goal shrink, you know, has shrunk down tremendously. So let's see if we keep going here. There we go. So just before we get started, I'm a big stickler on this, right? And I've seen multiple taxi cabs running. Like, this is probably the place that has the most taxi cabs I've seen. A lot more than San Diego. They're all over the place. But imagine, I want you guys just to think for a minute. Imagine jumping into your car, into that taxi, and when the guy says, where are we going? And you just said, wherever you want to take me. Right? Wherever you want to take me. And so I say that, it sounds kind of ridiculous, right? But as you sit here in this in these chairs today, do you guys have a passive income plan, right, that you've actually committed your goal? How many of you actually have a number in your mind that you need every month, you know what that number is, and you want to build that into a passive income stream? How many of you have that? And you guys can look around and ask questions. It's always educational. You can look at me, but if you look around, it kind of shows you, right? So that's about half the room, right? So you have this goal, and I would commit you guys, in fact, right this minute, at the top of your page, there's a number, you know, that's kind of floating around, or a number that you'd say, hey, if I had that coming in per month, it would equal what I make actively, having to show up every day. So there's a number. And if you don't actually put that on a piece of paper, I don't think it's real. If you say, oh, really, put it on a piece of paper? Then if you actually put a deadline and put a plan to it. So there's one thing to have the number. There's another thing to have a plan, an action plan as to how you're going to get there, right? So that's key. So I hope that by the end of today, not only will you have more detail to your plan, but you might think that, hey, maybe we could maybe speed this up a little bit. Where's Big Mike? He just stepped out for a minute. But I had a chance to meet up with Mike when they came down to do their first Outback meeting in San Diego. And I just able to spend a little time with him right after the meeting. And we'll talk a little bit about him as we go throughout the day. But I think if you get a chance to talk to him, he would say that by understanding more about the financing side, he's really shortened his goal as to how he can hit his financial goals that he's got. Just with understanding financing, doing things just a little bit differently than what we were doing. So real quick, just a few details that I want to put up here for you guys. Because this is really important. What I'm going to go through today, you guys have to really ask yourself, how much time do I really have to commit to this? Because that answer right there determines whether you're going to be somebody who's very active and becomes more entrepreneurial, creating systems, an active business out of it that you might want to do full time, in addition to what you're doing with Coach Mark and what John teaches you, right? Do you want to do that full time? And if you don't have the time for that, you might be saying, you know what, I got some money, I have an active position, you know, for another company, or you might have a company that takes a lot of your time. You might say, I might be more passive. So it's really important to understand. I'm going to go through and show you that what I feel are 6 of the most common profit models for note investing. Okay? And what you'll see is that some of them require an active involvement, and it's more of a B quadrant business for those of you who see, you know, relate to that. And some of them are more just getting your dollars to produce more dollars very passively. And I have some people when they sit through some of these seminars, it doesn't sound like note investing is very passive. And I says it depends which model you're pursuing. And sometimes you might have your foot in a couple of models, right, as you get started. Some people start without any money or any credit, and they're gonna start brokering. People in the room, you might have people in this room that have a pot of cash that you network with and meet. And you might not have as much cash to get started yourself, but you learn how to source. And we're going to show you a little bit about how to source some of these deals and or create them. You know, you said we weren't going to talk much about seller financing. We are actually going to spend a little time on that today. We do have a workshop down in San Diego. It's like 2 full-day deep dive on seller financing. and how we're creating our own notes, because we feel like the inventory that's available through hedge funds right now, we feel like that's going to dwindle over time as it works, works itself back in the marketplace. So we don't want to be, you know, waiting on that. We want to be able to create, be a market maker, right? And I know that's one thing you guys talk about here in the Outback, is creating your own market, right? So it's really important as we go forward and I go through those profit models that you guys really understand where you're at. Because for me, I didn't have at a full-blown marketing company, we, you know, I'll talk about this in a sec. I didn't have a lot of time, but I had about 10 to 15 hours a week. And what I had decided to do with that to get into real estate is I was fixing and flipping houses, right? So what did I add to my plate? So I've got an active fee-for-service consulting business, right? So I got to do work, right? I got to provide the service, take a retainer, but now I got to provide the service, right? And then in my part-time, because I wanted to be a real estate entrepreneur, right? What was I also doing? What is a flip? It's a fee-for-service, right? You get paid for enhancing the value of a property. If you don't keep that, you get paid once. It's a one-and-done proposition, right? So I'd actually had two S-quad, you know, service-oriented, that once Travis stopped, it stopped. And I realized, okay, that wasn't necessarily the passive income dream that I heard at some of the first seminars I went to on real estate, but I did see that there were some quick hits. So how many fix and flippers do we have in here, just out of curiosity, who've done some fix and flips? Okay, so here's why I'm gonna caution you, right? There's money to be made in fix and flips, but if that's just the only leg on your stool and you're comparing what you're gonna make here, so note investing, so fix and flip, in 4 months you got that quick hit, right? You know, typically. You know, sometimes you can turn them faster, it's just a wholesale quick flip, you get it done. I am not saying to stop doing that if you're doing that, right? Because we actually have done some of that. You know, we actually have now started to flip notes, and we'll talk about that, right? Here and there, we try to keep as many as we can for cash flow, but that's a sprint. Over here, note investing and creating a passive income portfolio is more of a marathon. Does that make sense? So when you approach your training of a marathon, it's a little bit different than that sprinter, right, that's running 100-yard dashes, 200-yard, you know, running the 400-meter. It's a little bit different. Are you guys with me on this? I'm getting a few head nods. I'm getting some, like, you all with me on that? So sprint versus marathon. And if you're doing the sprint, it's okay. I just don't want, I want you to really position that in terms of time involved in that, all right? So active, passive, sprint versus marathon. These are things, as you put together your plan, you really have to take into consideration. All right, so the big deal, a lot of you guys, and again, some of you guys said you had a goal, but how many of it is written, right? How many of it is written? And there's a big, there, you know, who knows what the most, well, I think would be the, I think the most important invention in of the history of mankind. Who knows what that is? Who wants to take a quick guess?
Papyrus.
What is it?
Pen
and paper, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Who else has a guess? The most important invention in the history of mankind.
Microwave.
Microwave. Big Mike, I love it. Anyone else want to guess?
Beer.
Throw something out, beer. Okay, I'm gonna say, this is life according to Travis, right? It's gonna be operate a little bit in that today, life according to Travis a little bit, but it's the deadline. It's the deadline.
Wow.
Nothing else ever got done without a deadline, right? So people, you think of all of the accomplishments. Think of the things in your life that you're proud of or that you got done or you have to do on a day. You got a deadline. You got a mortgage payment coming due every month, right? Is that a deadline?
Yeah.
You're out. What causes you to get out in the hustle every day? It's these deadlines. So if you have a plan, if you have a plan, first of all, if you don't have a plan, you're that taxi driver, wherever you want to take me. Let's do this, right? You know, I want to see Las Vegas today. We don't do that, right? But we do it in our financial life. So I'm telling you guys right today, stop doing that, commit to this. And, you know, I know this is a higher level group. You know what I mean? You guys are an advanced group that are action takers. So don't be that type of people. So by the end of today, you got to have a deadline on when you're going to hit that passive income goal. And some people are afraid to put that out there because what if you don't reach it? What do you think the study is on the number of people that actually had the goal and a deadline and those that never did who actually reached that goal? Do you think it is probably a higher percentage over on this side?
Right.
It is. Even if you got there a little late, was it better to have started and had it? So don't be afraid of not hitting it exactly when you want. But at the same time, if that's the goal, hit the goal, right? So that's a big deal. So I like to have, I always operate in 30-day increments in my short-term plan. I try to break it down. I got a 12-month goal, 3-year goal, and a 5-year goal, right? So if you've got a number, there's that security number, right? That plan for security, which would, if you swap out your active income, you're right there, right? Now you go to comfort, and some of you may never want to get into wealth, but you just, if I'm comfortable, I got money coming in, I'm good, right? I can do what I want to do, right? So this is really for us, how you know when you got there. And I'll just put those out there for you guys to just either take a quick picture of that or write that down. But we call it the max ROI lifestyle, right? How do you know when you've actually hit your goal, right? You have complete control of your own schedule, your own time. You have time flexibility. You're in control, right? I love working from anywhere in the world. When I fix and flip houses, unless I got a great on-site project manager, I don't have that. I don't have that. With my notes, guess what? We can do that. I can do that from anywhere in the world. And we actually were down, we just took a little trip down to Mexico with my family, and I was able to run our entire operation from Mexico on a very cool resort right on the water. And nothing, no hiccups, no anything, right? So this is a key one, right? And you talk about, again, how many of you guys read Cash Flow Quadrant? I don't want to over-reference it if you haven't. Okay, so a lot of people have it. If you haven't read it, but work once, get paid over and over and over again. How many of you guys like that a little better than you work once and you, every month you literally start at zero? And so you're gonna hear me talk about stacking, right? Where we just stack one cash flowing asset on top of another, right? So notes, houses, whatever you guys decide it is, I'm not here to tell you that notes are better than real estate, because what happens to notes? At some point, what do? They get paid off, right? You gotta redeploy the capital. So you're gonna kind of have a mix and find out what's right for you guys, right? Leveraging systems and automation, right? That is a key deal, right? That someone else is doing the work, right? When that check comes in, it can be pretty cool. It's mailbox money and or, you know, that's the physical check. We still have a lot of people that from their statement, their paper statement, they cut the coupon off and in comes the check, right? I like the ones that we have, you know, some of them are boarded with a servicer, and I get a little email that says notification of electronic deposit. I dig those, because I don't have to even have anyone go deposit those in the bank, right? And you want to get a lot of those. So it's key to have those systems and automation. But at the end of the day, that true passive income meets your monthly outflow. How many of you guys, and be honest here for a minute, how many of you guys think that is possible for you? That is awesome. There's some times where people are in the room and they're kind of like, you know, it's like, can I really do this, right? And I think we had 100% uptake on that question. So that is awesome. I'm excited for the rest of the day here. So one of my mentors, and I wish he was like a personal one-on-one mentor, but I study everything this guy has put out. He's now in his mid-80s, almost, I guess, late 80s actually now. But he wrote a book called Invest in Debt. It's a classic. If you haven't, you know, read this book, it's called Invest in Debt with Jimmy Napier, the how-to book on buying paper for cash flow, right? So more on the note side. And he said something. I had a chance to ask him a question, and he was in front of a group. His health hadn't been too good. It was actually here in Vegas down, I think it was at the Golden Nugget?
Yeah, I haven't heard him.
Yeah. But anyway, he said, only invest your time in those things that will pay you for a lifetime. So I want you just to do a quick little evaluation yourself on where you're at and what you put your time and effort into, and does it kick out an income? Is it that work once, get paid over and over and over again, or is it work once, get paid once? And guess who has control over that? You have control over that. 9 to 5, if we have to have a 9 to 5, a physical job to create a paycheck, right? It's what we do from 5 on. If we ever want to get freed up out of that, right? It's what you do on a Saturday, right? So this is a key deal, and that's a book I'd recommend. You're saying, Travis, get to some of the meat, right? I want to stick with you just for a minute here, but what do you guys think? What do you think the answer to that question is? Put some out there. What do you guys think the number one most important ingredient for success is?
Persistence. Learning, taking action.
Desire. I heard that desire. These are all good. These are all really good, right? So this is something I actually, you know, I study quite a bit on this subject. Starts with a T. Any other guesses?
Time.
You guys were kind of there with persistence.
Tenacity.
What was it?
Tenacity.
So when you study serial entrepreneurs that have blown up successful businesses, and they say, what was the number one thing, the number one reason that you feel you were ultra successful? So now I'm going to say, I heard someone say a burning reason why, right? But that burning reason why, you could argue that that was there, but really it's tenacity. And so I just wanted to put the definition up there. And I want you guys, as we go through the rest of the day, I want you to really, you know, if it's write down a little number on a scale of 1 to 10, if you had to rate your tenacity factor, and this is a big deal, right? Because this is something you can control. And if it's lower than you want it to be, is that burning reason why, is it strong enough? Does it consume you? Are you obsessed about, you know, that reason why? Do you absolutely have to be successful, or is it optional? You know, some people, trust fund kids, do they have to really go out and grow that money?
No.
It's just endless. Do they have a burning reason why? They really don't, right? So I just want you to think, as you read those bullets, not easily stopped or pulled apart, firm or strong, what was your number? What was your number in terms of your tenacity factor? Because this is something you have total control over. Because if I come and I say, Coach talked about specialized financing knowledge plus massive action, right? And some tenacity is going to get you where you want to go. I promise you that. But if you're not where you want to be, do you have that tenacity factor that's going to get you there? Continuing for a long time. You know, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's a get-rich-quick scheme, right? Can you create? I mean, we've been the last year and a half just in working in one little niche in one of the models I'm going to show you. We're up over 12 grand in passive income, right? And that was like, it took me a long time to do that with a rental portfolio. We had vacancies. We had to sink a bunch of money back into, you know. So today, just imagine I'm on this side of the table as a real estate investor, and what's happening typically as a real estate investor, interest is accruing what, for or against me?
Or against.
Unless I got someone paying down the mortgage, so I've got debt that's accruing against me, right? Is that a bad thing?
No.
Can it be better? Is there some other enhancements we can make? Is it a bad thing? No, because someone else is paying it down. It's not bad debt, it's good debt. Where we like leverage, right? You know, but what I want to teach you to do is step around to that other side of the table and sit in the banker's chair and teach you guys how you can create financing instruments, debt instruments, right, which we'll talk about in a minute, where interest is accruing for you, right? So if they trash the house, I mean, at some point, if you have to take it back, that's your issue. But for the most part, you can turn around and resell that. That's not, I mean, you literally could be completely hands-off, just pen and paper. You talked about pen and paper, right? As that. So very determined to do something. So rate your tenacity factor. And I hope that by the end of this time, you say, hey, we can do this, right? So real quick, before we dive into the meat, our goal on a scale of 1 to 10 is an 11 for your time here today. And that's going to depend a lot. We're going to give everything we got. But what we really need to do, just maybe for a minute, I appreciate him erasing that. Do we have a marker up here? I just want to write a few things down. Why are you here on a Saturday, right? You got the bullet points and the flyers, right? You saw the presentation title. But specifically, let's get specific on a few things, right? Is there a burning question you have about real estate notes? Why are you guys here? Because I want to make sure we've got what we're going to cover, but I want to make sure we're addressing some of your specific questions. So I need, before we can proceed, I need at least 5 to 7 things up there, right? So this would be group participation time, okay? Go ahead, and if you don't mind, just say your name. Do you guys all know each other, by the way?
Most of you do.
If you don't, yeah. I'm telling you, you just got to pay attention when you hear people's name, what they do, what they talk about. Because they're right in here, there's a lot of the resources you guys need to be successful. So name, and let me write it down.
My name's Tim Harvey.
Okay.
My purpose is buying discounted notes on property that I own, subject to, or acquire along my real estate investments.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand that. Buying discounted notes. You lost
on property that I'll give you an example. I got a subject to property in Arizona.
Okay.
It was a bankrupt, so the seller was nowhere in the picture. I acquired it from him on subject to. I'm now negotiating with the first mortgage to discount the debt.
Okay.
And buy the note.
Gotcha. We're going to touch on that. We'll show a couple of case studies that we're working on a very similar thing that are live look-ins, right? In terms of tons of success getting that, we've had a little bit of success. We haven't had a lot, but we can touch on some of that. What else? That's a good one. That's a real good one, especially if you're in the driver's seat and you know of that asset. Sometimes when you have title, they're like, no, pay us, right? But you've already foreclosed. You foreclosed to get title already. You own it subject to. That's right.
I own it subject to.
You're just trying to go back to the first. Okay, good.
And they've already, the one I contacted, they've already offered a discount. I just want to know how to negotiate more of a discount.
Okay. We got a few things on that. Go ahead.
Colette.
Yep.
And the difference on being able to acquire a note on a singular basis compared to pools of notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, buying one-offs are what they're called versus pools. Anyone else interested in that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good. Very good, Colette. Next.
I want to know how I can get how to get into the note buying when I have people that are passive investors that have money just sitting, but they don't know what to do with it.
So we're but colleagues, family members.
Right.
How to anyone else interested in that? All right. So funding sources, right? And how to funding sources. And that I'm going to call it capital conversations, right? Anyone else? That sound okay?
Yeah.
Yes? No?
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Go ahead. Name?
Jared.
All right. David, right?
Yes. David.
Okay. David.
Jared, specifically, how to market the property when brokering or market the note when brokering?
Okay. And a lot of that will apply too if you hold a note and you've maybe funded them out.
Right.
And you're going to go ahead and flip them out too. So that'll double as that good one. These are good guys. What else? Let's take a couple three more. Go ahead, Glenn.
Glenn, commercial or multifamily?
Okay.
Notes, if they're available.
Commercial versus multifamily. And with like availability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supply.
How many of you guys think some notes are out there, some deals on getting stuff discounted? How many of you think that you might get a higher discount on something in a, you know, blue collar neighborhood versus San Diego next to the beach? You with me? So it's important to really understand where they're discounting, why they're discounting, right? And they are discounting. I know people that they actually have a model where they look to buy second mortgages on multifamily, because a lot of times those are funded with two tiers of financing plus their equity, and sometimes those second mortgages on those deals, they want to be bought out. If they're contacted and they've got a 15-year term, now do you have some leverage in the game if you're in a mortgage position and there's a balloon on a note that's going to come due, and you can drive a deal, you can control a deal without having to own the whole deal. So that's a really good one. And we'll touch on that a bit, but that's a conversation that we'd probably have a little more of too. Good one. What else?
Dirk. And basically it's similar, only in a residential setting, being able to buy like second deeds of trust, you know, the notes that are there that would enable me to have options to be able to either foreclose if the first has equity, you know, if the first note deed of trust has an equity position. I bought the second, or allow me to approach the seller to buy the house, and I would control that second. So just
okay.
Options to be able to get into a home at a discount. So
very good. How many self-employed people here in the room? Right? How hard is it to qualify as a self-employed individual for financing to grow your real estate portfolio? Has the bank financing been a little bit more difficult, right? So one of the reasons I love seconds, right, is I can spread out a bunch of money over, you know, if I go in on a first mortgage, I can generate good passive income, but sometimes if I take a similar amount of money, I can spread it over multiple assets. I know some of you guys have heard me speak last time we were here, but you actually, it's a way to kind of come in through the back door, right? I want cash flow, so first and foremost, I'm going to try and help them get back on their feet and modify, and what's a better payment plan for them, and I just want the check coming in, right? But if for any reason I needed to foreclose, I'm always interested in what does that first mortgage financing look like? You know, has there been a, you know, a lot of times, what was the big government program that came out of, you know, the HARP?
LAFA and HAMP.
Or TARP and, yeah, HAMP, LAFA, yeah, it's like, exactly. But some of these first mortgages have been modified to a floor rate of 2%. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys could go out and qualify. Qualifying for a 5% loan would be awesome for me. If I could, you know, do a bunch of those, there's a limit. Even if you can qualify for a couple of them, sometimes you're capped at how many you could qualify for. But to be able to take over one of those 2% loans, and some of these are literally for the life of the loan. Some of them have step-ups, right? So they're going to kind of, you know, escalate back up. That's really good, guys. You guys getting a lot of this? Is this something you guys are interested in?
Yeah.
What else? Let's get two more and then we'll move on. What else? Go ahead.
Tim Harvey again. You made mention of flipping notes, or I would assume wholesaling notes.
We're going to do that, so I'll put that up here because that's, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Right. So I want you guys to imagine anything you've learned on the real estate investment side, you're going to see in just a minute how you have the foundation and you have a head start on other people that might be starting from scratch. It's just, it's very similar how it's doing that. Anyone got one burn that they just felt like, I know we got some quiet personalities, that they got that burn that they're just like, oh, I wish I could just say it. Anyone got one that they wanted to share? Something else that's not up there?
Oh.
Thank you. I like it.
I'm Yvonne. There are people who took whose balloon payments are due.
Okay.
And I want to know how to get those notes. And I also understand that many banks do not have the original notes and cannot actually foreclose because they don't hold the original notes. And I'd like to get to the bottom of that discussion. I'd like to get that clarified so that I know how to talk with sellers.
Very good.
People do want to get out.
And there's ways to source.
They do have a problem.
There's ways to source some of these notes, and we're going to talk about that. Good one. All right, one. Oh, we got two more popping up. This is good.
I've talked anything on negotiating the notes. I mean, it seems like a challenge for me to, how do you negotiate?
That's a big deal. That, just so you know, that's a 2-day seminar, but we are going to touch on some. But it's, I mean, that's a, because where's your profits? Right there.
Negotiation.
Right there on how you can buy a discount, how you position that. And one thing, and we don't have a ton of time to do today, but one thing we'll tell you, know, a lot of times when you buy a 30-year note, right, you know, we don't, it's because we offer such a steep discount due to the time value of money, we'll talk about that a little bit now, is we'll actually just offer to buy the front end of the note and buy a partial. For them, they don't feel like it's such a big haircut, but our returns are still really good. Right, so you guys understand that for a minute? So if there's 360 payments, you can actually chunk it up and buy the first 8 years of payments. And you just say, what rate do I want to buy those at? And we'll get it, you know, that's some ongoing discussion and topics and webinars we can help these guys with. So anything else? I saw one other hand, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, mine's real basic. I'm math challenged, so one of the reasons I kind of get hesitant with notes is how exactly value them, and then before you even negotiate what price, you know, what if, how do you easily make those comparisons when you're changing terms and conditions and payoffs and time frames, you know, to know if you're going in with the right price.
Very good. We're going to talk about the six elements of a note and how they determine value and pricing. Okay, so that's real good. I'll tell you, you're not going to be pricing experts at the end of one day, but we're going to try to get you a nice foundation in pricing and valuing and what are some of the factors, these elements that go into determining that value. And you know, in terms of being a math expert, right? You know, I love math growing up, right? You know, as one of my good subjects, but I found out that to be able to be really good at it with the note business, you got to have a creative mind, but there's a little tool, it's called a 10B2, right? And we're going to talk about that, and that thing just can help you look really smart, right? You just have to learn how to put the right numbers in there and how to understand it. So real good. Did I miss anybody before we keep going? Is that a good list? You guys like that? Right? So we're big believers, right, in this simple model. And I encourage you guys, as we do this, we're going to give you chances to act on a few things because it's a workshop, right? So you're going to learn some stuff, but we're going to put you to work, working out some deals, you know, some terms on a calculator. We're going to do some of that today. And I think it'd be good to walk out of here with a basic understanding of the financial calculator. Yeah. Would that be helpful? Right? We'll get to that. But the key element for us and why we actually come and do these types of things, and I challenge you guys, how many of you just, you know, you don't have to raise your hand on this, right? But in your mind, some people just don't have the desire to stand in front of a group and teach, right? That doesn't, they don't jump out of bed in the morning saying, I want to go speak to 100 people about a subject, right? But could you operate in a lunch setting one-on-one with a friend, right? You could do that, right? So what I challenge you guys to do, you know, the reason we go out and share, turn around and try to teach some of these concepts, right? Because you've got to put them down, like, can my 10-year-old understand them, right? So it's a big deal. So I challenge you guys, this model, the loop that closes all of this is the share. So when you guys share back and forth with each other, we're going to do a little bit of that, right? But that's why we come and do these things. It keeps us sharp. We're constantly learning. You know, that example about a note is a note is a note, was that pretty cool? I'd never seen that before. And that really distilled it down, simplified it, right? That was helpful to see. So, and again, I love this quote, so this is another reason we come. So guys, write that down, because those of you, I had a lot of people right here, half the room at least put their hand up, right? Half the room put their hand up. So I'll tell you what, do you think they want passive income?
Yes.
Do you think they have goals to someday, we've seen the Social Security statistics, right? You know, the check's coming, they bump you up in age. Now I think it's, by the time I get there, it's probably gonna be like 72 by the time I could even start drawing if there's anything in there, right? So I don't wanna count on that, but if you go out and help other people meet their passive income goal, you know, I know I've had some conversations with some of you guys one-on-one already, and you're getting this because I know you want to bring on capital partners. So you got to know what you're doing, right? All right, so and last but not least, before we jump into some of these things, I'm going to have Aaron just come. We'll talk a little bit about us. But we're working on a book, Paper Profits, and we don't want it to be all our success stories, right? That's going to be coming out October, November-ish, and that's enough time for people in this room to have some case studies that they could be featured in that book. If you think that would be a good book to hand a capital partner, if, hey, my story is in there on what they did. Yeah. I think it'd be a good thing. And so I challenge you guys. Some of you guys in here are just kind of here to kind of check it out. I get that, but some of you guys are like, I want to roll with this, right? And if that's you, we want to work with you, right? So here's some of the things we're going to cover, and you'll see some overlap there. So I do want to go through some basics. Coach Mark set a nice foundation. I'm going to run through a little faster now. And I really want you guys, if you're stuck on something, you got to raise your hand, and you got to make sure you ask that question, because that's the foundation for everything we're doing, okay? So the five profit pillars, and you'll notice that they're the same as real estate investing, right? And that's what's cool. And then we'll show you the different models, which I think are really important. And I wish I would have had that when I got started in real estate note investing. Because I kind of went down a path and I realized that I had some interest over here. You know, and some of you might, you know, be more towards brokering to start because your resources might be a little different. You know, I had a marketing company. We worked with eye surgeons. We had a lot of capital, right? And I can teach people. I've been teaching people in the room already how to get some capital, right, to be able to do that. So we're going to go through that. I want to go through this because this is. You've got to make this your new best friend, right? Make your new best friend. We've got some case studies. And then if we have time, which I think, you know, we'll have time if we get through some of this, I really want to spend some time on this again next month. You know, it's something that will get recorded if you can't make it to San Diego, but that's a big deal. You know, seller finance notes. Coach talked about seller financing. That's buying. So you're buying with seller financing, right? That's awesome, right? The clock's still accruing against you, right? You're creating wealth. It's good debt. But what if you could have also be selling with seller financing. You maybe don't want to, you don't want to deal with tenants, toilets. You want to be really passive, right? Some people have property management expertise, right? Or they work with that, you're good with that. Some people have no desire to be part of that. So you typically, when you end up with an asset or buy a house, you can turn around and sell it. We'll give you a couple of ideas on how to do that and some things we've done there. So real quick, I just want you to just, you know, some of you don't know us, and so I just want to talk about that. Aaron, stand up really quick in the back. I'm going to go to his family real quick. This is Aaron Holderman, my business partner. Just say hello.
Hello.
Real quick.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hey, guys, stay back there.
He's a Texan, too.
But you'll notice here, this is kind of cool. Everyone clap for Aaron, because look what we got coming. He had four daughters, finally got his little boy Liam, cute little guy, right? And but they have baby number six, and I promise you, it is not because he's hanging around with me. All right, you know, but this is cool. This is my crew, right? So Travis, in the morning, I kind of hit my stride with a little built-in motivation. Okay, I got some deadlines, right? We talked about deadlines early on. So that's my crew. And my hope and prayer is that these guys will want to do a little bit about what Dad does. Because I love what we do, right? And I feel like we've got a really good niche going with passive income. And so it's key. So this is our newest little guy. He's Brigham Boston, St. Patty's Day baby. So I left him just as I was leaving, you know, and it's hard to leave, but it's at the same time, that's my burning why, right? So you guys all got to have your own. So like I told you, in 2002 is when I really got into marketing, you know, and loved marketing, behavioral psychology and math, right? And I started helping specifically eye surgeons. I had a family member whose practice was struggling, so I kind of backed into it, loved it. We started working with these guys, helping them get patients who pay, stay, and refer. These guys, they're not good at marketing. You think they teach marketing in medical school? They don't, right? But here's what's really key. What happened in 2003 is I went out to Orlando, and how have you heard of Equity Trust Company? They're a self-directed IRA custodian retirement plan. They put on a meeting on how to create your own private bank. Is that a subject matter you guys might be interested in? You know, so I flew halfway across the country, burned 2 days of travel to learn about that, and I thought that these guys would know all about, right, all about investing in their retirement plan in alternative assets like real estate and notes. How many of you think doctors are well educated on that subject? That was 2003, and I'll tell you right now, one in 10 knew about this. And I would say today maybe 2 in 10, but it's not more than 2 in 10. So you guys, there's an opportunity to go out and you talk about, this is a big deal. I'm actually gonna work with you guys, some of you guys that wanna do that, to go out and tap into some of these people that are busy seeing patients all day, or clients, professionals. Are those good targets, right? A lot of us have some time to go out with some specialized knowledge to create these investments for them to invest in, right? Do they have the time to actively do this? No, so it's a marriage made in heaven. And Travis isn't special. Yes, I had a marketing business and we'd had success for him, you know, but I went back to these guys and I had to go build my own credibility and doing real estate part-time. Well, we started on some fix and flip stuff. So they'd go in, then they'd get their money back. And guess what happened when they got their money back?
Do they want their money back? When can we do another one?
When can we do another one? Why? Because the interest clock stopped, right? They want to keep the interest clock going. So I'll tell you, if you guys, there's a key word, and I'll just have you write this word down, because I think we're going to get to it, but in case we don't, in terms of capital, write down the word affinity. Right? Write down the word affinity. Each of you, so Travis has an affinity with eye surgeons, ophthalmologists, right? And I also played some basketball, so we have some professional athlete basketball players, right? So some of you guys might have different affinity with different demographics where there's some money, right? And sometimes it's just an intro to somebody else. Anyone who tells me that money's their issue, I love spending time with those guys, because money is not the problem. It's deal flow. It's deal flow. It's finding the deals, right? So that's what I did. And then Aaron, I'll let him talk a little bit when he comes up to kind of give you a little intro to him. But he's a marketing executive, and we partnered because he actually worked with, you know, some of these executives that would coach and train dentists, doctors, attorneys, right, through a marketing software, how to grow their practice through that. So he had some of these key relationships with lots more of these type of people who what? Have money sitting in their retirement accounts but no time. That'd be a good guy to team up with, right? To do some stuff with. So that's really good. But we're turned passive income note investors. That's what we're all about. So we're trying to do as much as we can. I don't spend last August transitioned my last marketing client over to a colleague that I could trust that would take care of them. And we are full-time, you know, doing stuff. We spend time going around and teaching some of these as well, teaching some of the things we know, but we spend a lot of time investing. I'm the managing director, which I think is coming up. So that's our company there. So consulting, done for you marketing service. We've done a lot of that over the last 13 years. And we've shifted into investing education and publishing specifically around real estate notes. That's some of the stuff we do. But our funding group, and write this down, so when you say sources, where do we find notes? You know, we have some notes, or where do we find capital? We would qualify for you guys in both of those categories. So write that down. But we're a San Diego-based, diversified real estate note investment firm. That's what we're working with. We bring on capital partners, and we sometimes co-invest with different people, and I think we got that here. Yeah, so this is just real quick, and we'll talk about this later, but we do have number one is really for the active people. People that are active, right, and want to be doing it themselves. We team up with them, and we go in on different bulk purchases, right, and they're kind of the lead. They're the lead for their investment group, right? Option two and three, if you just know you're passive and just want to do it, we'd obviously love to talk to you, but there's other people in the room too you can talk to. So that's our team, and we're just getting ready. We just bought another 72 assets, and she is tapped. We were so lucky to get Kristen. She's an asset manager. We do a lot of work with non-performing notes, and she's tapped, right? And so a lot of you guys will get to meet her that end up working with us, but we're having her help recruit a friend, but Chase closed down their doors in San Diego and moved to Texas, invited her to come. She managed 276 underwriters. So do you think she'd be a good person to be on your staff? And so she reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, you know, I'm networking, you know, do you know anyone that's looking to hire? And you know, and I knew her from 7 years prior, and I saw her path up the ladder at Chase. You know, I was like, can you come by and interview tomorrow? You know, because I was doing the workouts, like with these non-performing notes, I was doing a lot of it, and I knew I needed to be out getting capital, doing other things. So she came on board. You see John back there, he's a marketing manager. Patty's our office assistant, so you'll see that. I want to talk about this real quick, and we're going to jump right into that list of things we're going to cover today. But I want you guys, there's a reason we wanted to come speak to this group, right? And that's because of Coach Mark and John, right? It was something where we found out that working with people that aligned with our core values, right? And you guys need to come up with your own set of core values, and I want you to talk about them with people that you're bringing on with your company, right? Whether you hire and fire to that, whether you structure relationships with capital partners, asset managers, you'll know right away when you're in relationships that are not a fit and you got to cut and get out. Hopefully you can learn at filtering that out. But if someone does not align with your core values, these are just our three core values that we focus on a lot. You know, I'm putting one in there as well, that's precise punctuality at all times as well, because Travis is working on, you know, I want to be on time more, right? But those are three of them. I actually think it's a link to your integrity. If you say you're going to do something, do it. But absolute integrity first, right? Service before self. You already had the Zig Ziglar quote, and be outstanding in all we do. So, you know, there's you know, bronze medal, silver medal is pretty darn good, but you want to be that gold medal for people that you interface with, all right? So I'm jumping.